today's guest is Aaron Lee Kong, and he's a master feng shui practitioner from the American School of Classical Feng Shui. Welcome, Aaron Lee Kong.
Thank you, Amy. It's a pleasure to be here.
I hope I'm pronouncing the last name correctly.
Yeah, I pronounce it Koch, actually.
Koch. Thank you for being on the show. It was so nice that you are on the show because we don't have that many classical feng shui practitioners, and I really appreciate you being on the show. That's very nice of you.
You know, there really aren't that many classical feng shui practitioners in America. The most
yeah.
American practitioners...
Have you ever observed that, or is that you never thought too much why or any reason, or would you want to answer that question?
I don't really know the reason. I've heard a number of different theories, but, you know, I don't really know the reason. I really think that there's not... The reason I started my school back in 2001 is because I was deluged with consultation business, and I really felt that the need for properly trained practitioners of classical feng shui is not filled. And now it's even more true. Now I'm more deluged than ever with consultation business. It's incredible. This summer has been my busiest period ever in the 8 years that I've been doing this as a full-time career. And I've been practicing feng shui full-time 8 years and on my own since back in 1982. But my school has been turning out more graduates, and more than ever there's a lack of properly trained practitioners.
How many graduates does your school train every year?
Well, we normally have two programs a year in New York City and two programs a year in Binghamton, New York, which is upstate. And I would say we graduate roughly 60 students on average.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but it's not enough because the market is bottomless and growing every day. In fact, I teach a course in Broome Community College, our community college here in Binghamton, a two-evening adult education course, and I have 17 students in that right now. It started last week. It ends this week. And people are fascinated with feng shui.
Are people fascinated with... Since we were talking about classical feng shui, when you say they're fascinated with feng shui, are they fascinated with the classical part or the what I would call the, what would you call it?
My exposure.
The non-classical part.
You know, my exposure is to people who tell me, I don't care whether it's classical or non-traditional or what, I want feng shui that works. And, you know, I'm not going to say that other forms of feng shui do not work. That's not, you know, I would never say that. But my experience is with classical feng shui, and that's primarily... You know where my background is, and my clients get outstanding results. So I get a tremendous amount of interest wherever I go. When I do a two-evening course at the community college, I focus on things that people can take home and put into practice right away. And they come back the following week with amazing results.
Donald Trump, he uses classical feng shui practitioners.
Yes. And, well, look where he is.
I know. I know. Do you ever use those types of people as examples?
Of course.
Or you don't really?
Of course. You know, in my community college course this week, there's a gentleman who's a builder in this area, and he said, the reason I'm here is because I read that Donald Trump uses feng shui. And I said, well, you know what? We're going to do our best, the most we can in a four-hour class to make you the Donald Trump of Broome County. Which was a joke, of course, but what it does for Donald Trump, it can do for anybody, because feng shui has made him rich and super successful. Feng shui, properly applied, can make anybody seriously rich. And I stand by those words.
I'm just really shocked that you said that you have, on your website, you said that students have a client list before they graduate.
I tell my students call me up and say, if I take your program, am I going to have business? I say, all you need to do is, while you're taking the class, talk to people about what you're doing. And this is a 10-day class. It's given on 5 weekends in our upstate program. In New York City, it's 2 consecutive weeks, Monday to Friday, all day. And I say, just talk to people, friends, neighbors, people you come into contact with, and you'll have a waiting list when you graduate. And that's frequently the case.
Well, isn't it also profitable in a way? Well, it is not in a way. It is profitable because there there almost is a requirement that a feng shui practitioner comes back every year. Is that correct? So your repeat business is going to be there because the energies change every year.
Yes, and you know, not 100% of my clients have an annual update. Some choose to wait 2 years, and that's okay. The problem happens when sometimes the energy significantly changes, and they have an accident in the house, or something goes wrong, or their life turns from going great to back to maybe a little bit more on the mediocre side, and then they call me, and I feel terrible that I have to say, you know what, next time do your update every year. But you know, most people that skip a year are, you know, don't suffer tremendously because of it. But yeah, I have an ongoing relationship with most of my clients. In the fall, I send out a letter offering to do an annual update at a reduced price. And I would say somewhere around half my clients take advantage of that, more or less on an annual basis.
Do you think that one of your success, your reasons for success, is also your business acumen? Because it sounds that you do have some grounding in the business aspect, maybe you understand it or not.
I actually do. I worked in the corporate world for 18 years before I did this. And by the way, anybody that saw my resume at that point said, wow, your career has really skyrocketed. And my career did skyrocket, and I had a secret for that, and that was the good feng shui of my own home and my own office. But yeah, I have a background in business management and data processing and the computer field for 18 years. So that has certainly helped in my own success. But you know, you don't need that background. You need to get along well with people. You need to maybe have a little bit of a spiritual side because, you know, all feng shui has a spiritual basis. And just to want to be successful, ensure you can do it. And persistence. Persistence, I think, is the key to anything. Too many people say, well, I don't believe that in a program that I can actually finish in 2 weeks and then do an exam and then do some projects to get my professional certification, which are, I don't believe that that's going to make me skilled enough to actually help people. But, you know, people create their own doubts and their own fears. You have to believe in yourself because...
I disagree a little with what you said. You said that your computer training is not necessary. I would say that because of your corporate experience, you have had the discipline to follow through on ideas and to keep up with it for whatever reason. Similar to this is when you hear about people who were in the military and they got out of the military for whatever reason and they became very successful. A military training is actually really good training for a lot of things because, not that I've had really official military training, when I did take a ROTC class back in when I was in college, it was very, you have to keep everything clean and you have to show up on time. And it's just good skills to have in general.
You know
what
I mean?
It sounds like the kind of skills that you have are very important, which I think a lot of feng shui practitioners maybe don't have.
But you said it all in two. You said it all in two words, follow through.
What did I say?
Follow through. and maybe I benefited from my corporate background. Other people may benefit from their education. Other people may benefit from how they were brought up. As I said, you have to be persistent. You have to follow through. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to be successful at anything, are you? If you just you know, quickly throw your hands up and say, well, I had a bad month. This isn't for me.
Well, you know, I would agree with you about that, about throw your hands up. Where is that term coming from, throw your hands
know.
Up?
I don't know.
I think of John McEnroe or something where they say, throw your hands up. I think you're right because when you do something in an emotional, anybody when they do something emotionally and they're very enthusiastic, that has its ups and its downs. Whatever enthusiasm, it has to wane. It can't really... And so when that comes back down, what do you do?
Well, you know what?
What do you do?
That's the basis of that understanding is the basis of feng shui. Energy ebbs and flows. Okay? Energy in us ebbs and flows. Sometimes we feel stronger and more enthusiastic. sometimes we need more external support, and we have to nurture ourselves more. Everything in life ebbs and flows. You have to be able to see beyond that and be persistent regardless of the ups and downs in life and in energy all around you.
Easier said than done, it seems.
I'm sorry, say that again?
It's easier said than done.
Easier said than done. You know what? Everything is in your mind, our minds, and nothing is stronger than the human mind. And, you know, we think negatively or positively, whether we like it or not, and we can influence our thoughts to be positive. And the good news about thoughts is they can be changed. They can be changed relatively easily. And I do that as well. I'm a certified Louise Hay workshop leader. And I do workshops called You Can Heal Your Life and Loving Yourself, Healing Your Life. And the basis of that is working on your consciousness. And rather than just letting your mind be negative, positive, whatever it is, you know, when you wake up in the morning and it's raining and you look out and say, oh, some people look out and say, oh, it's a miserable day. It's a miserable day if you make it a miserable day. It's a rainy day. It's a beautiful day if you make it a beautiful day. So everything in your mind is under your control. And one tool that I love for that is positive affirmations.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, so it sounds like that is the key to your success. We just talked about it.
One of many.
Anything else? One of the things?
Another is, I think I have a great background in feng shui. I've had some wonderful teachers that taught me not only because they knew feng shui, but because they loved it and they lived it. And some, you know, such famous teachers as Lillian Tu, I studied with her both in Malaysia and in the United States. Raymond Lo, who's probably the most prominent feng shui master in Hong Kong, and I very much use the same methodology as he does with his clients in Hong Kong. And I've had other teachers as well here in the United States and in Canada. I think a great background, and also many, many years of working with feng shui myself, many years of experience have taught me what works and what doesn't work. And having taken many courses from many teachers, I was able to create a curriculum for my own school that gets rid of the things that are not important, that gets rid of anything that doesn't really help in the actual practice of feng shui, so I can focus on making my clients into excellent professional feng shui practitioners.
I have one question that just kept on popping in my mind while you were talking, is that I understand that there is a facing position and or a mountain position, whatever,
yes.
And how do you determine that when an area is flat?
When an area is flat?
Yes.
Generally, you determine the facing direction of the house based on two main criteria. There's actually three criteria, but two main criteria. Number one, the most open side of the house. In other words, the side that has the most openings, the most door and window square footage primarily. Number two is the side that opens to the most open space. So if the house is in the middle of a field and every side is equally open, then you would just look at which is the most open side of the house. You give a little extra weight to the main door of the house, whether or not it's the most used door. You give a little extra weight to the main door. You give a little extra weight to the side that's facing the main flow of energy, which is usually the street or the main road. But it's the most open side to the most open space, basically.
That answer you gave me, is that from what you have learned through Lillian Tu and Raymond Lo, or is it something that you have kind of reinterpreted based on their teachings?
You know, you're asking me a difficult question. It's a combination of what I've studied and and what I've used.
I'm sorry, we didn't plan to have this, but it kept on popping in my mind.
No, it's
I was
fine.
Thinking,
it's fine,
should I ask you this question?
Everything that I've learned, I've put into use so many times and so much, and I've seen what works. And I've worked with worked with houses, my own houses, other people's houses, using every possible definition of the facing side. And I've repeatedly seen what works. So that's what it's ultimately based on.
See, that is, I think, one of the crux of this whole issue that we're talking about. That question is where the authentic side and non-authentic have their arguments about, but maybe we don't have to go through that. Mm. But I think what you're saying is that the bottom line is if it works, then that's it.
That's the only proof of the pudding with feng shui. Despite the fact that there's someone local to me, believe it or not, who says he invented a machine that measures qi, it's not true. There's no such thing. There are some theories about the composition of qi and the various components of qi, but there's no way of measuring it. The only proof of the pudding of feng shui is the results that you get. And if you get, if your practice of feng shui gives you excellent results, then who can question that? If it's not giving you excellent results, then something's definitely wrong.
I hate to bring in religion.
Please.
But that is one of the reasons I would say why people would use religion, is if it works, then use it.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that's what I would say, is that, well, people fight over whatever is right or wrong or whatever, but if it works in your life, then why not use it?
I agree with you. I agree with you. I would say that for any form of spirituality, and feng shui is a very spiritual practice. It's not engineering to build bridges or architecture to build skyscrapers. It's a very spiritual practice. It's very important in the practice of feng shui to acknowledge the spiritual aspect of it, and it's very important to be in touch with your own inner guidance. And when you have the right education and the right aspect of spirituality, you will be guided internally, and you'll never go wrong.
Oh, thank you, Aaron Lee Conch. It's been very nice in this first interview. I am Emmy Louie. We'll be back, and we'll interview Aaron Lee Conch a little more throughout this program. We'll be back. Emmy Louie, and we are giving out a prize today. We have a feng shui green ceramic fountain to give away. It's simplicity at its best. Relax as water flows. This gorgeous ceramic feng shui-inspired water fountain creates a striking focal point wherever placed. The fountain's gently flowing waters provide a calming effect as they soothe nerves and restore body, mind, and spirit. Fountains offer the added benefit of covering up distracting ambient noises, helping raise alertness and focus. Pump and all necessary parts included for easy assembly and operation. 1 year limited guarantee on pumps. If you're interested in getting this fountain for free, the first person who emails me will get it for free, and you can email me at emy@emyloue.com. That's emy@emyloue.com. We are back with Aaron Lee Koch. He's a master feng shui practitioner of the American School of Classical Feng Shui. And Aaron, I emailed you and asked to interview you, and I'm glad that you said yes. And was there a reason? Do you turn down interviews? And was there a reason why it was okay that I would interview you?
Do I turn down interviews? Actually, I do, and I'll get to that in a second. Let me tell you why I'm thrilled to be on your radio program. I'm thrilled to be here because I believe in feng shui. Feng shui is a gift. And it's a gift that we are so lucky in our lifetime to be in a period where the greatest feng shui masters in the world have effectively opened up their notebooks to share this esoteric knowledge with the world. We are the first people living in a time where everybody can benefit from feng shui. And if you've received this gift and benefited from it for yourself in your own life, I think it's an obligation to share it with as many people as you can, because it gives you an edge in life, and why not give that to everybody? And that's why I'm in business. That's why I'm doing what I do. That's why I'm here. So I think your radio program is a wonderful thing, and I'm thrilled to be here. Do I turn down interviews? I turn down interviews occasionally. I get a lot of requests from college students who ask to do a video on me or an interview for a paper, and I will do that if they make a commitment to give me a copy of the video or the paper. And very often they will hem and haw about that, and then in that case I don't want to be bothered. But normally, you know, if something's going to educate people and help people, I'm thrilled to do it if I can fit it into my schedule.
Good for you. Any other things you want to tell about regarding your success? You mentioned a few points.
My own success. Well, there. You know, let me talk about how other people can be successful as well. There's
awesome.
I'm sorry.
Great.
Well, there's so many things that you can do with very little knowledge of feng shui that can make a change in your life starting today. You can walk through your house, and there's so many principles you can follow. By the way, I write a column that's in several magazines. It's in New York City area. It's in Wisdom magazine. It's called Feng Shui, Ask the Practitioner. Wisdom can be picked up in most health or metaphysical stores. In upstate New York, it's in the Northeastern Holistic Resource, available in supermarkets and many other locations across New York. And in my column, I answer questions from readers, and I try to focus on things that people can do very easily without, you know, getting into a detailed consultation, without any great outlay of money. You can walk through your house and do things right now. You can go to your bathroom. And are there any symbols of good luck in your bathroom? Take them out because you're leaving them where your luck's going to go down the drain. Are there? You'd be amazed how many bathrooms I see family pictures in. Not a great place to display your family photos. And just walk through your house and look at the artwork that's displayed. How does each piece make you feel? You know, people are not aware usually of the emotional impact that the art in their home has on them. They often, when I ask, how does this make you feel? They'll say, well, that's worth a lot of money, or that was a gift from a famous artist. But that's not the important thing for my purposes. I'm asking, what is your emotional reaction to it? Does it make you feel good, at home, safe? Or is it maybe a little bit threatening or make you a little bit uncomfortable? And if so, I would say, why display that in your home? Okay, if you have it as an investment, better to store it away, or even if you have an extra room, make an extra room into a home art gallery. And there's so many things like that throughout the house that you can do. And when, in terms of my own success, whenever I've had any downtrends in my own publicity, or when business was, as you know, a few years ago used to not be as good, the first thing I would look to is my own feng shui. What is it in my own home and in my own home office that I can improve on? And there are always so many things. There's some great symbolism. I put a beautiful wealth boat in my office. A wealth boat is simply a boat, a model boat, the kind that would carry merchandise. I have it loaded with money and with coins, old Chinese coins, American coins, little ceramic globes representing wealth coming in from all over the world. And since I placed that boat coming into my office, I don't think the phone stops ringing. Little things like that can make a huge impact, and there's no limit to the things you can do. In fact, my column is going to be coming out in book form in the relatively near future. It's going to become called Feng Shui Secrets for Health, Prosperity, and Great Relationships. And my goal is to distribute it as much as I can to help people.
So you said that your column, which comes out weekly, is going to
monthly,
be...
Monthly.
Monthly is going to come out as a...
As a book.
A bounded book.
Yes. I'm just looking for the right publisher right now.
Good. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And is AmeriQi different from American School of Classical Feng Shui?
My overall business is AmeriQi Feng Shui. Mm-hmm. And my goal for AmeriQi Feng Shui, it's a work in process. My goal is to be a center for classical feng shui, a place where anybody can come to, a website, which is www.americhi.com, AmeriQi.com, that anybody can come to for regardless of your needs in terms of classical feng shui, whether it's for a great education, whether it's for consultation services, or whether it's for merchandise related to classical feng shui. So my goal is to be a true center for North Americans to be able to focus on for classical feng shui requirements. And the American School of Classical Feng Shui is my educational division. It's my school within AmeriQi Feng Shui.
Can you tell me about the different classes that you offer? Can you tell me a summary of that for the American School of Classical Feng Shui?
Sure. Well, we focus on the fundamentals of feng shui, of course, and then some basic background in the very simplistic Eight Mansions formula. And then we focus for several classes on flying star feng shui. The flying star feng shui is an analysis of the unseen influences in a home or business, exactly how those influences are laid out, how they move over time, and how their impact on the occupants changes over time. So that is the crux of classical feng shui. So we do a lot of work with that. We start with we do a number of in-class case studies looking at floor plans. Then we actually work with miniature furniture in terms of laying out rooms based on the flying stars. It's a lot of fun. And then we do a little bit on Chinese fortune telling. We have an introduction to Four Pillars of Destiny, which is so important. And then some other methods such of fortune telling that are common in the feng shui world, such as face reading and other things that have been passed down from China. And then we look at other modalities that can help enhance the energy of a space, such as aromatherapy and crystal energy. The impact of such issues as artwork, as I mentioned a minute ago, the impact of clutter, which is a very big modern American issue. And we talk a lot about form school feng shui, furniture placement, every aspect of the decor that can impact the flow of energy, including wall treatments, floor coverings, window treatments, types of lighting, types of furniture, placement of furniture, best sleeping and facing directions. It's an extremely comprehensive program. Mm-hmm. And then we spend a day talking about how to develop a consulting business. And then
what is the different schedules that you have? Do you have, I think you said you mentioned like a 10-day
It is a 10-day course in two different formats. In New York City, it's given 2 weeks, Monday to Friday. Our next program starts October 22nd. So it's the week of October 22nd and the week of October 29th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then in upstate New York, in Binghamton, we offer it on five weekends, one weekend a month. So we'll be going to the fourth weekend of our summer program tomorrow. And then we start again in November.
How do people take your classes when they're outside of the area and they want to fly in? How does that usually
work?
Well,
I would recommend in that case to come to New York City, because you could stay in New York City for as little as 12 days, take the full program, and have a weekend to enjoy the city right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. What about people who normally have a regular work schedule and they don't want to take vacation off? Do you have anything to accommodate that?
Only if you can come to Binghamton for 5 weekends, 1 weekend a month right now.
Have people ever done that?
Yes. Every once in a while we offer an intensive program in Binghamton, but still it would be weekdays.
Can people take the classes? You mentioned basically a very comprehensive class structure.
Yes.
Can people take certain segments of the class?
For the most part, there are a few that are prerequisites to others, but in general, you can. With a couple of exceptions, yes, you can.
I see. Now,
and we're happy to work out a schedule that accommodates. We've had students that have taken part of the program in New York City, part of the program upstate, to work with their schedule, and we'll do our very best to work with our students' schedules and make things possible for them.
In regards to the classical feng shui, what if some of the students, or have you ever had situations where people don't like to work with numbers? How do you overcome their fears of numbers?
Our goal is to give a tremendous amount of personal attention. And that's one fear that we encounter, and there are other things. There are people that come to us with very little confidence in their own ability to be successful. And what we do is work with them individually as much as possible. We make sure that I personally am available after class every day, okay, and I will work with people for an hour or two if necessary.
Make sure that they fully understand
Absolutely. The
whole numbers situation.
Absolutely. My goal
Because I would say that in books, that is one thing you cannot know if you understand it.
Absolutely.
And that's why we have universities and we have schools, is that you get tested on your comprehension of if 2 + 2 = 4 and you write 5, then no one's there. If you're reading a book, no one is going to tell you that 5 is the wrong answer, I guess, or maybe it could be the wrong right answer depending on whatever the situation, the paradigm. But schools are important because they give a quality control and they tell you, well, yes or no, or this is the way, this is the intent of the course,
yes,
and all that.
I have a teaching background as well before my corporate background. I'm a certified teacher in the state of New York. And I know in class who's having what problems. Not everybody speaks up about the difficulties they're having. And I know in class who's having which difficulties. And I will request that they meet with me after class and that we go over things and until they get it. And my goal is the success of my students. And by the time my students graduate, they get it. And most of my students, usually 90% or more, go on to the professional certification requirements of the school, which are a certification exam, which is a take-home exam, and doing three projects on their own, one for a house, one for an apartment, and one for a business. And all of that is graded, and ultimately the school issues professional certification to the student. And when our students who achieve professional certification consistently display a level of feng shui knowledge and skill that is absolutely incredible.
That's what you're saying. That's,
yes.
So you have a high set of standards. That's great.
Very
for you.
High. I believe that our certification is more meaningful than that of many other schools, and because our students have done a great deal of field work as well as class work to get there. And they've taken everything that they've learned and applied it successfully at least three times before they get their professional certification. And what they know at that point always amazes me. And, you know, I very often, as I mentioned, I'm inundated with projects.
Can you tell me about a student that may have just exceeded your expectations without naming names or anything like that?
All right.
There's some students that you just remember because of whatever. You just remember them.
Yeah, I have.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely. I have a student in upstate New York. She graduated from one of my first classes back in, I think it was 2001. She has her own practice in an upstate city. She's been very, very successful both in New York State and in Canada. She lives close to the border. And she's been on local TV. She's been on local radio repeatedly. And she's given me CDs of a couple of those programs, and I'm just so impressed with her knowledge and her skill. I'm so proud to say that she has been one of my graduates. So, and I've had a number like that. She's been more successful than most because she's been very persistent. But persistence is the key. Anybody that wants to do it can do it.
Good mm-hmm. for them.
And you know, people think, many of my students, because I'm in Binghamton as well as New York City, many of my students say, well, is it possible to be successful living in a small town? And absolutely, absolutely. With a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of a willingness to travel, there is as much interest in feng shui in rural America as there is in urban America. Many times people down in the big cities think that it's a big city thing. It's not true. It's a gift that's come to the West. That's the West meaning, you know, the Americas, and it's spreading everywhere. We're no longer a world that's divided between urban and rural.
Can you tell me an example of a consultation or something that stands in your mind as something, it just stands out either recently.
There are so many, but you know, I had one that makes me a little sad recently. I worked with a gentleman on his home and on his business, and he did extremely well following these consultations. He then went ahead and bought another home, a 20-room house outside of New York City, for which he paid well over $1 million. And he did not consult me when he selected the house. He loved the house. He said it was a great buy, and he just bought it, and then had me take a look at it. And I did not tell him. I hope he's not listening to this show. I did not tell him in these words, but it was one of the worst houses energetically I had ever seen. And what I did have to tell him is that the way you were thinking of using the house is not the way I'm recommending you use it. I recommend that your family use only three particular bedrooms in a specific wing of the house and not the large master bedroom you wanted to use, and many, many, many other things that he loved about the house. I said, you know, that those should be guest rooms or storage rooms or whatever, not rooms used on a regular basis. And that made me kind of sad, especially with my regular clients. They normally consult me to help them select their home, as well as to work with it, with the house after they buy it. And this is a case where, because he was getting what he thought was something really special, he didn't do that. And that makes me kind of sad. But I've never had a situation where I've told people, you know, you have no choice but to move. That's never come up in my practice. I hear a fear of that a lot. People call me up and say, what if you tell me I have to move? But that's never
I've heard of that too myself.
Yeah, I
and
always
that has
say,
had a very bad taste with, I think, with some people.
Mm-hmm. I actually take the approach that everything can be improved on. And there's always so much we can do. And some people will say, what if I can't implement your recommendations? I will say, you know what? There's so much you can do. Don't worry about the few things that you cannot do. And also, don't be a perfectionist with your feng shui. Nobody on earth has perfect feng shui. Nobody, not here or in Asia. And there are so many formulas that conflict with other formulas. We need to focus on the formulas that are most powerful and most influential. And if you get your feng shui 65% right, you're going to be doing great and your life is going to show the difference.
Well, I have to tell you, when I see some of, I'm not sure if it was, maybe it wasn't Lillian Tu's books, but it was some classical book, and I thought to myself when I was looking at the book, gee, it seems the way the book was written that almost nothing in America would work at all. And I was thinking, I was hoping maybe it's the language translation.
Hmm. Well, you know, there's always, as I said, there's always things that you can't do and things that you can do. I work with many people in apartments or co-ops or condos where they can't change the position of the stove and they can't move the stove further from the sink. So there are some cures that make things a little bit better in that case. And then we focus on the things that we can do.
We are here with Aaron Lee Koch. He's a master practitioner at the American School of Classical Feng Shui. I'm so glad that he's on the show. I am Emmy Louie, and stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie. Renee Jensen hosts the 2007 International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. It is held at the Sheraton Hotel, Parsippany, New Jersey, in the United States on September 28th, 29th, and 30th of 2007. There is a fabulous show featuring world-renowned experts in interior design, feng shui, green design, architecture, and healthy living. Attend the International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. Visit the website www.consciousdesignexpo.com. Again, that's www.consciousdesignexpo.com. See you there. We are here with Aaron Lee Koch. He's the master feng shui practitioner of the American School of Classical Feng Shui. And Aaron, we were talking about classical feng shui, and you said that we do as much as we can. Any more comments about some of the books and maybe some of the, when people say, you know, they don't want you to tell them to move out of the house? And can you tell me some nightmare stories that maybe not coming from you, but you have heard?
Let me see, nightmare stories.
Well, maybe we shouldn't talk about that.
Well, you know, I remember working with an acupuncturist in upstate New York who had an office with the entrance in the basement entrance in the back of an office building facing directly into a hill with railroad tracks just at about window level. A small hill with railroad tracks. It was depressed below the ground. It was next to a quarry. It was facing railroad tracks. It was in the back of the building. It had everything possible wrong with it. And first thing I said to this person is, you're not going to get rich here, but I'm going to do the best I can for you. And, you know, her business, her practice did improve for a while, and then she moved her office to another location. But I take the approach that we can always improve on things. We may not change things from being terrible to being wonderful if circumstances are really, really, you know, challenging, but we'll do the best we can, and there's no situation where things can't be helped. Most of my clients come to me with one or more of three issues, and the issues are relationship-related, money-related, and or health-related. And my clients get outstanding results. We usually, even in the worst of cases, we can usually make significant improvement. The problem comes up when I do a lot of business consultations, And if people call me when they're opening the business, almost invariably they are super successful. The problem comes up when people call me when the business is on the verge of going bankrupt or going out of business. And they'll call me up and say, you know, we can stay in business for two or three more weeks. Please perform a miracle. Very rarely can I perform a miracle. I will usually tell them it's unlikely that I'm going to really be able to turn things around that dramatically, that quickly. Several people have given it a try and been able to stay in business, but it's still been a struggle. You can't usually take something that's on the verge of closing up and change things that dramatically, because they're usually well into debt at that point. But I always encourage people to call me as early as possible. With a home, there's usually a tremendous amount we can do, whether people have lived in the home for a while or are just buying the home. One thing I do tell my residential clients especially is to implement my recommendations very, very, very gradually. Okay, speaking of nightmares, because it's intuitive to think that the kind of recommendations I'm making are very similar to redecorating, but they're not. Feng Shui isn't decorating, it's energy work, and it's working with the energy that impacts your life 24 hours a day. And when people do not listen to my plea to implement things very gradually, especially if they've lived in the house for a long time, where their personal energy is totally intertwined with that of the house, what happens is they throw their life into a healing crisis. All the issues in their life suddenly come to the surface without having the opportunity to gradually resolve and to gradually heal. So people call me up with horror stories and say, we were just informed that our building's being sold and we have to move. And my wife just lost her job. And we're on the verge of getting a divorce. And we just got a bill out of the blue for $25,000. Things like that. All at once, because their life goes into complete upheaval. And when they implement my recommendations very, very gradually, that does not happen. So what I'll
when
tell
you
them
say when gradually, what period are you talking about?
You know, there's no rule. What I will tell them is, make a change. It might, you know, if it's a simple little change like turning a table in a different direction, you might go on to the next change. But anything more than that, it could be as simple as hanging a wind chime. I will say, do it, live with it for at least two or three or four days, feel the change in energy in the environment, and once you're comfortable that things are settled down, then you go on to the next recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are very, very sensitive to the energy changes in their environment, as I said, especially if they've lived there for a long time, especially when I work with people who are energy workers on their own. They are so sensitive. And they will know the right time. They will know the right intervals. And typically, my clients get a report from me that ranges from 20 to 100 pages. And if they implement most of my recommendations over a six-month to a year period, that's ideal.
Moving on, do you have anything else you want to say about that? I wanted to ask you about your travels.
Please.
Tell me about some of them. I know you have some of them mentioned on your webpage. Or do you want to talk about your article first? Maybe we should talk about that before we run out of time, the May 17th article.
Which article are you speaking about? My column?
Something about Beijing? Was it posted on your website?
That article.
Feng Shui in China or something?
No,
like
it was just an article about, every once in a while I just see things about how far along Feng Shui is coming in the world, and it's something that I want my students and my clients to be aware of, how more and more Feng Shui is being taken seriously and Feng Shui is coming into the mainstream. I'm sure you're aware of how it's being considered for building codes in California. It's being considered for building codes in California. And anything like
no,
that.
No, I don't. Tell me about that. I heard about the ones in Malaysia. Tell me about California.
No, in California there was some discussion of incorporating feng shui principles into some of the building codes. That's about as much as I can tell you. That's basically it. Just that feng shui is so, becoming so prominent, so important around the world, and I just want people to be aware of it. And I have an article about that I got from Reuters that basically is how certain offices in mainland China, certain official offices have been using feng shui and using feng shui practitioners. And that's not surprising, even though in mainland China there isn't that much knowledge of feng shui, because when the communists came to power in 1949, they banned it, and they declared that feng shui is nothing more than a superstition aimed at cheating people. Despite that, Mao Zedong used feng shui all his life, and his ancestors had outstanding burial sites, and that's believed to be a couple of the main reasons for him being so powerful for so long.
How do you know Mao Zedong used that?
How do I know?
I didn't know that.
Personally. I know that from hearsay.
I hope you didn't, actually. Oops,
no,
I'm sorry.
No, I never met the man.
I might be insulting the Communist Party.
it's not my intention to insult anybody, but this is what I hear.
I'm just thinking, oh, boy.
You know, to tell you the truth, I never met Donald Trump either. But
well, you'd be lucky if you'd be meeting Donald Trump, but... where does it say that Mao Zedong? I mean, I've read some books about it. I never knew that.
Where does it say that?
Where does it say that?
You know, I don't have the references in front of me, but it's there. I don't have the references in front of me.
Well, he was the one responsible, for what I understand, for banning almost everything except eating and the dictionary.
But, you know, not only him, but ancient emperors would ban the use of feng shui. That doesn't mean they didn't use it. They didn't want it to fall into the wrong hands. They didn't want it to be used against them.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, no, I don't have the references in front of me. I wish I knew you were going to ask me that question.
I just saw that on your website, and I'm sorry, I didn't warn you about that.
No, but I think it's in some books and it's on the internet, and which doesn't mean it's true, but
yeah, that's
this,
true
this
too.
Is what I, hear.
I know.
Yeah. My travels.
19. Yeah, tell me about your travels.
Well, in your earlier days, I used to I love to travel. I just haven't had the time. Nowadays, I mainly travel to see my clients around the northeastern United States. My practice covers everywhere from northeast Ohio to New Hampshire, from the Canadian border to northern Virginia. So I'm often traveling around there. Most of my clients are in the 50% are in the New York City, Long Island, New Jersey, Connecticut area. So I'm down there quite a bit. And other than that, my travels have taught me a lot about feng shui. My travels to Asia, of course. I've studied with some of the top masters in Asia. I've also, a special place for me has been Mexico, which I traveled to 27 times. The first few times by bus from New York City, believe it or not. And people would say, why are you going to Mexico? What's so special about it? And I couldn't answer at the time, but it was a place of tremendous spiritual growth for me.
Is it that place called Teotihuacan? I forgot what it's called.
I'm sorry?
Teotihuacan? In New York City? I mean, in New Mexico? Not Mexico. In Mexico.
What's the name again?
Is it Teotihuacan? Spelled D-E-O?
Tenochtitlan.
Sure, you can say it.
Is that the place you're talking about? That actually was the Aztec capital that was located where Mexico City is now. And outside of Mexico City, there's a very powerful energy spot, which is Teotihuacan. It's actually just half an hour outside of Mexico City. And the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon are there, as well as many other ancient structures. And it's a tremendous energy focus. As are certain points within Mexico City. And those have been such powerful places for me, where I've learned so much about spirituality, and I've learned so much about how energy works in my own life, that I kept going back until I came to a point where I really felt that, you know, now I need to study in a different way, more formally. But Mexico was a very, very important area of spiritual growth for me. And I haven't been there now in 9 years. I have kind of a yearning to go back.
I feel that way, too. I know. I feel like I need to go back to certain places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's good for you. So you grew up in the area, in New York City?
I was born in Monticello, New York, and I grew up near Monticello and also in New York City. And I've lived in the Binghamton area in upstate New York on and off since the mid-70s. And I also spend a lot of time in the New York City area, where I have an apartment as well. And I have two offices, one in New York City, one in Binghamton. And I'm able to offer my classes both in New York City and in Binghamton.
We actually only have about two more minutes. Anything else you want to say about whatever?
Well, it's been a tremendous pleasure speaking with you, and I'm thrilled to have this opportunity to spread the word about classical feng shui, which is such a powerful technique for life change. And it's just been wonderful and joyful to be on the program with you.
Thank you so much, Aaron Leacock. He's a feng shui, master feng shui practitioner of the American School of Classical Feng Shui. I am Emmy Louie, and let me see, I'll have something else to say. The Feng Shui Institute International announces its 2007 conference, The Continuum of Connectedness, which is held November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2007, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A variety of engaging topics will be presented, from mind over matter, how it is infused in the physical environment, to interior design tools for feng shui professionals. For more information, visit the Feng Shui Institute International's website, www.fengshui-ii.org. Click on the link, Conference. Attend the Feng Shui Institute International's 2007 conference. You don't want to miss it. Thank you very much, Aaron Leacock, for being on my show.
Totally my pleasure.
Good luck on everything. It sounds so amazing. Good for you.
Thank
and
you.
Your website, again, is?
It's www.americhi, that's AmeriChi.com.
Congratulations on all the work you've done, and keep it up. Keep up
Thank
the good
you so
work.
Much.
And you can visit my website, the Book of Archives, www.emyloue.com. Have a great week, and thank you, listeners, for listening to my show. Namaste.